The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, 'Rabbi.' As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and all of you are brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The Gospel of the Lord. The whole purpose of Lent, as we heard on Ash Wednesday, is to repent and believe. A lot of the times when we hear that word repent, we think that what it means is exclusively converting from evil behavior, giving up a way of sin. But that's just the first part of what's supposed to be a lifetime of conversions. The greatest articulation of the continued conversion that's supposed to happen in us during Lent and in life was articulated by Pope Benedict in 2007 when he went to Pavia, Italy, and preached at the tomb of his great theological mentor, the 5th century Bishop St. Augustine. He described three main stages in Augustine's conversion. First stage was the famous one, which he gave up a life of debauchery. "Give me chastity, Lord, but not now. Let me get the sins out of my flesh." In which he shacked up with somebody from the time he was 17, continued that concubinage through having a child out of wedlock. He used to use the great gift of his intelligence that God had given him to mock his mother and mock believers. Augustine, through a great grace, turned around from that type of sinful life. But that was just the first stage. Augustine eventually became a priest. He founded a monastery. He wrote his own rule. He was churning out books. Everything was now in the state of grace. But he was doing everything exactly as he wanted. He went to visit a friend in a place called Hippo. The elderly bishop, and it was only bishops who could preach at the time, his voice was so soft that he couldn't continue to talk, and he said, "Please pray the Lord that someone would be sent to take over this preaching ministry." And everybody there knew who the most famous rhetorician in the Roman Empire was. And he happened to be there at Mass. And they said, "What about Aurelius Augustinus?" And he didn't want to spend the rest of his life caring for the needs of poor widow who would come to the bishop for assistance, for all the other pastors here. But he grasped that, just as St. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, that since Christ died for us, we can no longer live for ourselves, but we need to live for others. And that was Augustine's great second conversion, to learn how to live for others. And the third happened very late in life, when he recognized that all that we're able to accomplish in life is not because of our own willpower, not because of our own strength, but everything comes from God's mercy, that we live by God's mercy. We see that progression in today's readings. Isaiah, at the very beginning of his letter, compares the people to whom he was addressing at the word of the Lord as the princes of Sodom and the people of Gomorrah, the two most ignominiously sinful cities in history. He named various of their sins, their misdeeds, their evil, that they weren't hearing orphans' pleas, they weren't defending widows, but they were taking advantage of them. Jesus built on those sins in the gospel, describing the hard-heartedness of the scribes and Pharisees, that they were doing everything for show, but their hearts were far from the Lord. They were whitewashed sepulchres. Today we have the beginning of a 35-verse Jeremiad against the hypocrisy, the acting of the scribes and Pharisees. Both Isaiah and Jesus were calling people to that first stage of conversion. But then they brought it deeper to talk about what our real ambition ought to be. Isaiah says, make justice your aim. Learn to do good. Jesus says in the gospel, the greatest among you must be your servant. They're calling us not just to stop doing sinful activity, but to take ownership over bringing justice to widows and orphans, over serving all the rest just like Jesus did. And that's a conversion that we always need to do, because all sin ultimately comes from selfishness. And when we convert, we become more and more selfless, so that we're able to say, God's first, others are second, I'm third. Really to become our brother's keeper, to pray for others, to fast in order to share God's hunger for the justice of others, and to give of ourselves and what we have, just like Christ gave himself out of alms for us. That's the progression. And we do it in Lent precisely by God's mercy. Today we celebrate the feast of one of the greatest Americans who has ever lived, St. Catherine Drexel. And she made these ambitions that we talk about today her own. She came from an extraordinarily wealthy family in Philadelphia, but her heart was touched by the lot of Native American and African Americans, who often didn't even have any access to an education, not to mention suffered so many other indignities. She used to travel on the train just to care for them in a way that she could, but after her parents died and left her an enormous fortune, $15.5 million in the day, worth about $250 million today. She took a pilgrimage to Rome. She met with Pope Leo XIII. She was imploring with him, something's got to be done about the fate of Native and African Americans. And Pope Leo XIII agreed with her and said, Catherine, you need to found something in order to care for these people, because God's given you that desire to seek the justice for them, to serve them. And that's what Catherine Drexel did, and spent the whole rest of her life founding a congregation, founding universities, founding so many social works, in order to make justice her aim and serve all the rest. She, who was very rich, humbled herself to care for those who are poor. And because she humbled herself in this way, the Lord has exalted her forever. Imagine if we were to receive and respond to the same graces, one day others might be celebrating our Mass at this altar. Praise be Jesus Christ.